All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, there we go. Let me invite you this morning to turn to your neighbor, your neighbors, and say, there is always a place for you here. There is always a place for you here. Let me go ahead and dismiss the youngest. There's a place for you here and out there. So the youngest among us. For the rest of us, we are today kind of going to wrap up this journey we've been on, exploring the path of peace, a path that travels the way of Sabbath. And we can think back over, again, these last few weeks in a world that is shaped by space, right? The pressure builds, the busyness of it all, stuff to manage, things to get done, and God steps in and offers us a Sabbath of time to stop, to cease, to rest. In a world that is shaped by noise, the worries, the anxieties, the racing thoughts, God steps in and he offers us a Sabbath of silence to listen and to notice and to be present. We can think last week in a world that is shaped by fear, chaotic, messy, disordered, God steps in and he offers us a Sabbath of trust, Rapha and Yada, to let go and to be with. And we take that deep breath, and it's wonderful. To stop, to cease, to rest, to listen, to notice, to be present, to relax and let go and lean in and be with. It is wonderful. Which is exactly why the temptation is for that to become enough. For us to kind of settle there. For me then to make Sabbath about me. To make Sabbath about my peace. The problem is that it really then just turns inward. And when that happens, it becomes careful, contained, it becomes small. And Jesus refuses a small Sabbath. Turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 12, Pew Bible 689. The words will be on the screen. As long as it's staying on. Is it on? We're good. Matthew chapter 12, the opening line, it says, we read, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. And so nothing really here unusual, nothing out of the ordinary. This is very ordinary, right? They're out, they're getting their steps in, they're walking, their 10,000 steps on Fitbit or whatever. Good for them, right? And as happens when you're out kind of exercising, doing that, kind of, right, you get hungry, and so they get hungry, and what do you do when you're hungry? Well, you eat, and so very ordinary, but here there's a turn from kind of this very ordinary now becomes a bit of a problem, at least to the Pharisees. Verse 2, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Now, we're not going to spend time here today, but keep in mind that this unlawful part is according to the oral Torah, not so much to the written Torah. With that, the oral Torah and the written Torah are very central to the Pharisee way of life. But for today, I want us to notice the focus here is absolutely not on, are they okay? What do they need? How can we help? The focus is on, hey, look, you guys, you're breaking a rule. You're breaking one of our rules. And notice Jesus, his response here. He responds, he doesn't debate, he doesn't argue, but he leans into a story. It says, he, Jesus, answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. And then he kind of dials down on the priests, and, you know, speaking of the priests, you know, they do their work on Sabbath. It's part of their duties in, he says, the temple, and yet are innocent. I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. And then he drops this line. He says, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man, he says, is Lord of the Sabbath. Right? Mercy, not sacrifice. Because Sabbath was never meant to be a religious tool to measure or to judge or to exclude, but is a comfort. Sabbath is to be a comfort to those who are worn down and weary. It is to be a blessing for the anxious and the worried. It is to be a refuge, right, for the vulnerable and needy. In the words of Heschel, a Jewish theologian, he says, Sabbath is for the sake of life. For the sake of life. And as if to make sure that we don't miss that, Jesus, we read verse 8, going on from that place, Jesus went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And so here we have a man with an injured hand. In Greek, it sort of means withered hand or dry hand. We're not sure exactly what. It might be some kind of a disease. But he's got this injury to his hand. What we want to get is that both in Greek and in Hebrew, the hand is not, it is anatomy, but it is also symbolic in that it speaks to one's agency, to one's ability, to one's strength, to one's capacity to do work, or in this case, the lack thereof. Even more than it is the sense of his diminished value and worth and belonging. Are you with me? And notice again the focus here. It's not what can we do, how can we help, right? But it's how can we control this? And notice Jesus again. He doesn't argue. He doesn't debate. He leans into another story. Very simply, he says, verse 11, he, Jesus, said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Right? If only we had known what it means. If only we had known, right? Mercy, not sacrifice. Because again, Sabbath was never meant to be a religious tool to measure or to judge or to exclude. Right? It is a day for the sake of life. Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, which is so much more than just a nice sentiment, like, oh, those are nice words, Jesus. Because all through the Bible is this idea of doing good wedded to what it means to live in peace. Wherever good is done, peace is right there with it. And that is true from the very beginning. If we go back to Genesis 1 and 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Good is tov in Hebrew, It means to be rightly ordered. It means to be in right relationship, right? Creation is good, Jesus says, because everything belongs, right? Everything is in right relationship. We could say the world is at peace with itself. The world is at peace, which is why then Psalm 34 and verse 14, it says, turn from evil and do good. And then we get that parallel. What does that look like? Well, seek peace and pursue it. In other words, doing tov is entering into peace, right? It doesn't happen by accident, right? It comes through our pursuing doing good, which has everything to say then about how we treat one another, how we treat others, all others. Right? It has everything to say about how we show compassion, how we offer mercy, how we choose love, how we come alongside the person who is grieving, how we help lift up the one who has fallen down, how we sit with the one who is hurting. Something the ancient prophets understood. Isaiah 32 and 17, we read the fruit of righteousness, what is tzedakah in Hebrew. Tzedakah, it's not about rules, and this is not about personal moral achievement. Tzedakah is entirely relational. And so think here of communal connection and again, right relationship, which again has everything to do with how we treat one another, how we care for one another, for the other, for all others, right? Doing good. And that, Isaiah says, will be peace, right? The way of peace. Its effect, in other words, the result or the consequence, the outcome will be, and notice here in light of these last few weeks, I find this interesting. Notice the language here, will be quietness and trust forever, right? To stop, to cease, to rest, right? The sound of silence, the posture of trust, a gift for the sake of life. Then Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched out his hand and it was completely restored, just as healthy as the other. Right? His hand is healed. But in a sense, even more than that, right? His ability is returned. His strength is regained. His capacity is reestablished. It was completely restored. His worth, his value, his belonging. Right? It's a day for the sake of life. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. And so notice kind of the contrast here. Right, because when Sabbath is used as a religious tool, right, be it to measure, judge, exclude, criticize, whatever that looks like, right, the pressure returns, the noise comes back up, the worries knock, the fears speak, and peace slips away. But Jesus, he refuses a small Sabbath. If you had known, he says, what these words mean. Words not only for that day, they're words for this day right here and right now for us. If only we knew what these words mean. And so I want to invite us kind of on this last peaceful Sunday to sit for a few moments and to sit in the stillness and to consider and maybe to think about what would it look like to live Sabbath. What would it look like to live Sabbath as a way of life? Yes, to stop, cease, rest. Yes, listen. Take that deep breath. Notice. Be present. Right? Relax. Let go. Lean in. Be with all of that. And compassion and care and generosity and kindness. How can practicing Sabbath become a gift of peace for others? How can my practice of Sabbath become a peace for others? And then with that, we can think, what might doing good look like in the rhythm of my week? What might doing good look like in the rhythm of my week, right? In the places I go, in the people I see, in the decisions I make. What might that look like? And then who needs me to be a place of rest and refuge this week? I would guess that many of us will run into many different people. People that are close to us that we live with maybe in the home, but also people out and about. Grocery store, the coffee shop, the office, a neighbor. Maybe it's someone that's you'd rather turn and walk the other way. Who needs me to be a place of rest and refuge this week? So let's sit for a few moments together. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath.